God. I'm not going to get up just to see the sunrise. Miracle on the Island is the title of our last lesson here. And when I saw the title, my mind immediately went to Melita, where Paul was shipwrecked. And I thought that was going to be the story. You know, they built the fire. He shook the serpent off into the fire. Praise God. I like that symbolism. The devil's going to the fire. And then the leader of the island, the villages that were there, his father-in-law was, or father, whatever relative it was healed. And then they brought many to the apostle for prayer and for healing. I thought that's where it was going to be. But the miracle on the island is John and the book of Revelation. Which, when you stop and think about it, that is not ideal in terms of being able to have the leisure, have the time, have the setting to write a book. The Isle of Patmos, even though it was in the Aegean Sea, and it's in a string of about 2,000 islands, sounds like the Aleutian chain in Alaska, but the temperature much, much different. Nice and warm. But it was largely claimed to be a penal colony of the Roman Empire. And some tradition even says it was a salt mine. So far from ideal conditions for John the Apostle, the last surviving apostle of the original 12. But yet God used those circumstances to bring forth 22 chapters of a book we call the Revelation of Jesus Christ, and have such tremendous impact in our world today. The focus verse gives us a hint as to why it was accomplished. Revelation 1 and 10, I was in the Spirit. And he identifies on the Lord's Day, which could be the Sunday that the New Testament church met, or it could be any day, but he was in the Spirit, and that's what counts. And that's what it's going to take to be ready to go in the rapture. On the Lord's day when he comes. Amen. Thank the Lord we can be in the Spirit. And he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. And they're again reminding me that there's going to be a shout, there's going to be the voice, there's going to be the trump. Amen. And we want to be in the Spirit on that day so that we can enter into the heavenly realm. The focus thought points out that on the Isle of Patmos, God confirmed to John the ultimate victory in Jesus Christ and the end of the ages. And I like that terminology, the ultimate victory. People set goals. The Olympics are finishing up here this week, today, sometime. And a lot of those athletes have had set goals probably 4 years ago or 8 years ago. Some of them, this is their third or even fourth Olympiad. How in the world can they maintain that focus? And one of them, one of our own from Alaska, finally won a gold medal. And her fifth Olympics, 20 years. A career spanning 20 years of cross-country skiing, which is not an easy sport to engage in, but yet she set a goal that she was going to be able to reach, and goal setting in that regard is good and successful, and likewise goal setting for you and I is important. And the ultimate goal, the ultimate victory, I'm going to be ready when the trumpet sounds. I'm going to be ready to go. Praise God. as that is the blessing that the Lord desires for us to obtain. There's many word pictures in Revelation. There's mention of some things that had originally been lost. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they were not to partake of. There was also the tree of life. That was lost. They were ushered out of the garden because of their disobedience, not having access to it, which was actually the mercy of God, because he did not want them to partake of the tree of life in their fallen state. But praise God, that is restored, as John sees in the midst of the street in the New Jerusalem, on either side of the river, was the tree of life. And its fruit for the healing of the nations. All of the good, all of the blessing that is going to come, and the restoration that is going to take place. What is equally intriguing is the number of times in Revelation that Old Testament books are quoted. Now, more than likely, John, as the surviving apostle, had opportunity to read the letters from Paul and James. And then he, of course, would write 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And now he is writing Revelation, as well as having written the Gospel of John. So a lot of letters, scrolls, documents that they had access to. But naturally, what they would rely upon and be familiar with is quotations from the Old Testament. And it's intriguing that Exodus, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and Zechariah, there are references to those books in the book of Revelation. That's surprising. At least to me, it was. I thought, you know, because there isn't a direct quotation, but there's a reference to. And so the Lord would direct John in his writing the book of Revelation, and there was always be that scriptural foundation. I like the way it all comes together. It all dovetails, so to speak, that the Word of God is always going to be supporting itself. That shows there's one author. It shows there's one who inspired it. He used many individuals to write it, but there's one mind, one theme that follows through throughout the whole thing. The world has grabbed a hold of this idea of apocalypse. Hollywood has grabbed a hold of it. And oh my, the devastating disasters, the catastrophes, the Holocaust, all of the things about apocalypse. Apocalypse actually means revelation. That's why the book is called Revelation. It actually means what God is going to reveal. Now, there's definitely devastating things that happen in the book of Revelation, as we see the prophecies that are presented and all linked to the tribulation and what we call the Great Tribulation, because obviously there's tribulation that goes on right now. There are things that are happening right now that are a terrible tribulation concerning the church and the believers. But a great tribulation to come to help the world recognize that there is one God. But the prophecy that is encapsulated in this apocalypse is what we want to understand, the revealing, the revelation. And since it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ, I'm thankful that that's who is first and foremost in John's writing. And in spite of the conditions, in spite of the location and what was going on, and remember now, John is an elderly man. He is in his 90s, and yet he has been exiled to this place. And rough characters from all across the empire are incarcerated with him on that island. So again, not ideal conditions, but God can use anything, anywhere, anytime to bring about the fulfillment of his will. And that's what he is doing here now with John. And John is there not as a chaplain, not as someone who is an ambassador of goodwill. He's there because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. They didn't like what he was saying. They didn't like how he was ministering. They didn't want to hear about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so they threw him in jail. Well, that's one of the signs of being apostolic, I guess. We talk about being apostolic. Yeah. The apostles were thrown in jail. And John, obviously, the surviving apostle, is thrown in jail. But, oh my, the unique aspects of all of the I ams of Jesus that John recorded in his gospel, and probably more than any other writer, more than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John writes about the Lord saying, I am. And he picks it right back up again in Revelation. And that to me is a real unique factor in that he indeed has a revelation of the power and the life of Jesus. Brother Mike?
Has the book of Revelation just assumed? Is it understood to be that this was all one revelation that you see like one day?
I'm not sure about that. That's a good question. Was it something that he recorded over a period of time? Did it take a month? Did it take a year? Or did he sit down with pen and ink and a scroll and write like mad? I don't know. I'm thinking it was over a course of time. I'm thinking God used all of the opportunity to reveal, and he record these 22 chapters, and it took a bit of time. Because he makes reference of being in the Spirit again. I was in the Spirit. And that's in our key verse, our focus verse, but he repeats it a couple of times. So I'm thinking it's more of a time that was spread out, and he records these things. Now, he describes the Lord as being Alpha and Omega, as being the Almighty, the first and the last, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Lord God Almighty, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Faithful and True, the Word of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Offspring of David, the Bright and Morning Star. Just unique how he is describing the Lord in all of these titles and these names. And certainly the Lord is all of those and more. And thank God we can experience him as he applies himself in our circumstances. Amen. You need sustenance. You need strength. He's the bread of life. You need light for the darkness. He is the light of the world. And you need to know the way. He is the way. I need to understand truth. He is the truth. And on it goes. And thank God we can see him described in that regard. And when John falls at his feet, and the revelation of who he is, and it's just overwhelming, and it's powerful. It's incredible. And remember, John was on the mountain when he saw the Lord transfigured and his glory shone forth. And John outran Peter to the tomb. And interesting that he wrote that down in his book. Peter and I were running, and I outran him. He wanted that in the divine record. But he saw the empty tomb, and then he saw the resurrected Lord. And now he is seeing the Lord, and he falls down at his feet, and the Lord says, I have the keys of death and of hell. Praise God. And maybe John's thinking, if you got keys, get me out of here. Get me out of this prison. But the Lord used him. Again, the Lord used him in those circumstances. And I've got to believe there was deliverance. That John would continue to serve the Lord and then pass on from this life to glory. But God used that situation, and it became very powerful in the revelation that he would bring forth. Now, there's a lot of symbolism might be difficult to understand in Revelation. But remember, John is writing about 21st century events from a first century perspective. And so the images, the scorpions that can sting and all of these kinds of things, he's seeing aircraft. He's seeing nuclear explosions. He's seeing wonders from an astronomical perspective, and he's trying to write it down, and the Lord is inspiring him. But remember, he's seeing things that are going to be 20 centuries later, where we are right now, and the mark and the image and all of this stuff. It's pretty incredible to consider how the Lord would use him and provide. But through it all, it's a message of hope. Because the Lord tells John right from the beginning, fear not. And then he reached down and touched him. Praise God. That's what we've got to be in tune with throughout all of our tribulation, throughout all of our circumstances that are not to our liking and not comfortable and convenient and so on. Remember, he said, fear not, and receive his touch, and be in the Spirit. Praise God, because that's what he desires to do and to provide. And then, of course, remember how it's all going to end out, how it's all going to turn out. The devil's in the lake of fire, and you're going to be on streets of gold. Praise God. That gives us hope. That helps us to understand there's a powerful conclusion to this whole thing. And I've got to think that there were times of joyous worship that the old apostle would have to put his pen down and just have a shouting time. How about when he saw his name on the foundation, the 12 apostles' names on the foundation, and J-O-H-N. Of course, it wouldn't be in English. It would be in Greek or Hebrew, but he saw his name. I would think that happened to me, old bones or not, I would be doing some rejoicing. Praise God. And that's what we rejoice about today. That's what Jesus told us to rejoice about. You know, it's not so much to be excited about the devils being subject to you through the name of Jesus. That's something to shout about. Power over all the power of the enemy. Oh, my, that's something to rejoice about. But Jesus said, rejoice that your name is written. Yes. Praise God. And thank the Lord. That's the power and the blessing that we can have as well. Remember that 1,000 years of peace is going to be where you're going to reside with the Lord and live and reign with him for 1,000 years. And that aspect of peace is going to be real right here. Amen. The beauty of Alaska, the beauty of other places in the world is not going to be hampered by sin. It's not going to be tainted by wrongdoing and iniquity and transgressions and sin and so on. Praise God. His presence, the absence of the devil, who's going to be in that bottomless pit for 1,000 years, praise God. And we're going to be here with him. Don't let the things that you do not understand about Revelation cloud the things that you do understand. Amen. Just like, you know, we admonish Don't let the things you can't do keep you from doing the things you can do for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God. Amen. You can witness. You can testify. Praise the Lord. You may not feel comfortable teaching a Bible study, but you can tell somebody about how the Lord touched you. You can tell somebody about how the Lord delivered you. Amen. And thank God, that's what we can rejoice in and be blessed in the Lord. The new heaven and the new earth, Peter wrote about it. John, of course, writes about it. Isaiah wrote about it. That's what's so unique about it. And this is one of those references to the Old Testament books. In fact, Isaiah wrote twice about a new heaven and a new earth. Isaiah 65 and 17, also Isaiah 66 and 22. So that new heaven and new earth coming about is just an amazing aspect of what the Lord is going to do. The elements, Peter wrote about it, the elements melting with a fervent heat. You guys study chemistry in high school? Remember that periodic table of elements? I can't even remember how many there are. Over 100, huh? Oh, they're homeschooled. Well, that means they really studied it. So, those elements melting with a fervent heat. Praise God. AU is gold. I better not go and reveal my ignorance here, not being able to remember them. But that's what Peter said. The elements will melt. There's going to be a great noise, and those catastrophic things are going to be fulfilled. But then right in the middle of all of that, he said, according to his promise, a new heaven and a new earth. Praise God. And that's what we rejoice in and recognize, that the Lord is going to provide that blessing for us. And then John describes the new Jerusalem and makes reference to how the Lord is going to have this place it's going to be beautiful. And he names all of these stones and gems and jewels and so on. That's going to be their gold in the streets, crystal in the sea, pearl in the gates, jasper on the walls. It's going to be incredible. Amen. But oh my, to see the Lord, to see him, how awesome that's going to be. And the mark of the beast and, you know, those things. And by the way, again, the carefulness that we've got to exercise in holding on to truth and letting that be the standard by which we gauge our relationship with the Lord. Because I believe it's in Revelation 13 that it talks about the devil doing signs and wonders. Signs and wonders is a phrase that reaches all the way back to Moses and the signs and wonders that were done with the plagues upon Pharaoh and Egypt. So signs and wonders is a powerful demonstration of God and his power. But the devil can do signs and wonders to deceive. And that's what we've got to be careful about. I enjoy the supernatural aspects of God and the signs and wonders that he does, mainly in healing and deliverance for us today. But the devil is going to be able to do those things. And that's where we've got to measure everything by the standard of truth and make sure we're remaining where we need to be in the things of God. Yeah. In fact, the first three, I don't know why in the world they'd want to multiply the plagues, but the first three they did. They kind of stupid, actually, you should stop and think about it. Oh, yeah, snakes, I can do that. But then they realized we can't match the power of God. You can't match the power of God. There are so many in the world today who are trying to downplay the things of the Lord and how that man can replicate those things of that God. No, you can't. God goes way beyond what we're able to generate by our own ingenuity, education, intellect, finance, whatever. God goes way beyond. And I certainly don't want to sell myself short in thinking I can bring my own salvation and ignore what he provides. Oh, no. I'm going to hold on to what he's provided. Praise God. Revelation 21 and 4 is a beautiful aspect of what is going to be eliminated. We already said the devil is being eliminated in the bottomless pit when 1,000 years of peace exists here upon the face of the earth, and then the devil being eliminated by being thrown into the lake of fire. Also, what is eliminated is described in Revelation 21 and 4. And this is not the only time that God says he's going to wipe away tears. Revelation 7:17, several chapters before, and if there's a linear and chronological aspect to the writing of Revelation, John received that revelation a long time before he recorded it again in 21 and 4. God will wipe away tears. Isn't that going to be incredible, Brother Norm? The Lord to come right up to you and extend his hand and start wiping away.
Yes.
Oh, my. I'm not going to miss that for any kind of thrill and chill that the world has to offer. I'm not going to miss that for any kind of aspect of what the world is going to provide. God himself stepping right in front of you. That's amazing. But there'll be no more death. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. Oh, goodness. How incredible that is going to be. And we certainly don't want to miss out. Say again. Yeah, yeah. There's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be, just think about it. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more crying. And the opposite is what we're going to enjoy in the blessings of the Lord. Praise God. And how that the Lord is an Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And that's repeated several times in the Word of God, as though to emphasize everything you need, he's going to supply. Everything you could desire, you'll find it in Jesus Christ. And I think the Lord was letting John know, I'm your sufficiency. I'm going to bring you through. I know this is not the most exciting experience you've had in terms of being on Patmos Island, but I'm going to bring you through. And, of course, John then would record all 22 chapters and many things that, again, we may not understand, but the Lord is there. There's three sets of sevens that describe the tribulation, the judgment that is coming upon the world. And there's an interesting point that the author of this lesson makes. When I've studied Revelation, I see that there are seven seals. And when the seventh seal is broken, remember they're talking about a scroll. And a scroll, they would drop a wax seal on certain parts of it. And as you're unrolling the scroll, the seal would be broken. And then you can unroll it and read what else has been written, and you'll come to another seal. The seventh seal, when you broke that, would reveal there are seven trumpets. And then when the seventh trumpet sounds, there would be a revelation there are seven bowls or vials. And so it seemed like there would be a continuation. But this author says, look at the reaction, or look at the experience When the seventh seal is broken, the seventh trumpet sounds, the seventh vial, he points out that in each one there are thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. And so he postulates maybe they're all done at the same time and these events are occurring at the same time. An interesting concept. But I definitely don't want to be here to find out. My curiosity is not to the point where I want to say, God, I want to find out what's going on when the seventh seal is broken, the seventh trumpet sounds, and the seventh bowl is poured out. No, we're going to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be rejoicing. We're going to be having a time in blessing of the Lord and the strength that is going to come forth. Whether or not that happens, I don't know. But it is going to be a terrible time upon the face of the earth. Disasters, catastrophes, just a time of devastation that has not been seen before. All designed to bring Israel to the point where they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. To recognize Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. And they will come to that point. But it's going to take this time of tribulation. And yet we understand how that the Lord would direct us to worship and hold to the blessings that he is going to reveal, sin being eradicated, tears being wiped away, death being vanquished, sorrow being no more. Praise God. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we desire. And moreover, in chapter 22, he says, there shall be no more curse. I like that, no more. Amen. Because look at your text. If you have your book in front of you, if you don't, Revelation 21 and 8, this is part of the no more. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now remember, the lake of fire was not made for you and I. Matthew 25:41, that hell is made for the devil and his angels. So, those, however, who continue to align themselves with the devil's deception and are captured by his deceit will share his destiny. But that's not God's plan for you and me. If we can determine to follow the plan of the Lord, we're going to avoid that place and be in the place where there is no more curse and rejoicing with the Lord. Revelation 21 and 27, all things that make abomination, all things that defile, they're not going to enter in to the place of the Lord. Sister Glover, get 21 and 8 in a modern translation. NLT would be fine. Let's hear what it says in modern language.
The cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshipers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death.
Okay, so it makes it a little more plain, but doesn't eliminate the place where they're going to end up, the lake of fire. So again, avoid, stay away, do not play or gamble with where you're going to end up. Make sure, nail it down where you're going to be. because that's plain as can be, the two places that are the alternatives, heaven or hell. And, oh my, very, very obvious which one to choose. But there are a lot of people today that are just kind of, oh, well, doesn't matter. Yes, it does. And that's where we've got to understand the blessing of the Lord. Okay, in our few remaining moments, I said, don't let the things that you don't understand keep you from rejoicing what you do understand in the book of Revelation. I'm going to ask you in just a moment, what verse stands out to you in Revelation? What do you grab a hold of? Maybe Revelation is a book you don't spend a lot of time in. If that's true, you're like me. I don't spend a whole lot of time in Revelation. But I do rejoice in what I see in there and what I can grasp and grab a hold of. Is there a particular verse that you like to remind yourself about? Obviously, we mentioned 21 and 4, where God is going to wipe away tears. I love that one. Amen. Any others?
I just found one in 21:6, and he said unto me, it is done. Boom.
It's done. It's over. It's finished. He said it's finished on the cross, and now his plan, the fulfillment, all of the work, all of the prophecy, it's done. My. What power. Sister Glover. Amen. Praise God. He's the one that bothers you. He's the one that tries to pull you down. Praise God. And he does it day and night. And oh my, his destiny is torment forever and ever, day and night without end. That's something to rejoice about. Praise God. Amen. Any others that you grab a hold of and rejoice in?
That message you preach, 22 and 8 and 9, is very powerful. When he falls down to worship at the feet of what he considers to be an angel, and it turns out to be someone that's made it.
Yeah, and twice John does that. He thinks it's an angel, and he's just overwhelmed, and he wants to worship. And he falls down, and the one that he is kneeling before says, "Get up! I'm your fellow brethren. I'm one who has obeyed this word too," and that says something to me. He made it. He walked this earth, and he served God. He obeyed the word of the Lord. He was born again. He made it, and he's telling John, "Get up." Praise God and worship God, because he's the one who will bring you through.
Yeah, and all of the Alaskans will love 22:5. There shall be no night there, and they need no lamp, neither light nor sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
Praise God. The Lord gives them light. Amen. We rejoice in the sun coming up a little bit earlier, going down a little bit later, and we love this time of year. We can feel some warmth from that sun. Praise God. And we know spring and summer not that far away. Hallelujah. But it's not going to change in that heavenly realm. Praise God. How about, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. What an incredible arrangement of relationship and fellowship with the Lord, if we just open the door. Amen. And that he makes that personal. You know, he talks about the church. He's pointing out to John the seven churches, and he says, "I know your works. I know your labors." You know, he doesn't forget that. I think it's Hebrews 6 and 10, where God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. And he's reminding the churches, I know your works. Praise God. But then he makes it personal. If any man hear my voice, any woman hear my voice, and open the door. Praise God. I love that aspect. Any others? Sister Becca? Right. Amen. It would be ludicrous for the Lord to say, if you overcome, I'll give you this, and it's impossible to overcome. If you jump to the moon, I will give you. He's not doing that. When he says, he that overcometh, he's making it possible. He's laying it out and saying, you can overcome. And this is what I'll give you when you do. Praise God. And it's not an impossibility. It's definitely in the realm of salvation and the relationship that we have with the Lord. You can live an overcoming life. Praise God. And all of the blessings and the power that God gives to us as a result is what we rejoice in. And I'm thankful those things can stand out to us. And again, let what you understand bless you and encourage you and lift you up. And what you don't understand, just make sure you're going to be ready when the trumpet sounds, is that understanding will come. And there are things that, you know, I don't need to understand. I don't need to understand how a lake can be on fire. But I can rejoice that the devil's going to be in there day and night, being tormented. I don't need to understand about a bottomless pit. But that's where the devil's going to be. And one angel is going to throw him in there and lock him up with a chain. Praise God. And we're going to be rejoicing forever. All right. God bless you so much. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Many are returning home from the retreat, a powerful and wonderful retreat. Thank you so much for joining in focus prayer for that. Many returning home, that the Lord would keep them safe and healthy. The Lord's blessing upon them. Amen. Unfortunately, Jackson ended up with some kind of bug. And others, more than likely, you get exposed to over 100 people. There's bugs being passed around with our handshakes and hugs and everything. But pray for everybody going home from the retreat. The Wades, hold them up in prayer. Sister Marilyn, God would continue to touch her and strengthen her. Brother Steve Adams, his situation. Sister Esther with healing. Amen. Sister Belinda's sister is having surgery first thing in the morning in California, and she has a form of cancer, but we know God is a healer, and God can bring her through this surgery. And her name is Belle. All right, so we'll hold Belle up in prayer today. Amen. Other needs, other requests, yes. Mm. Anne Marie, her Sister Glover's cousin. This is her third or fourth bout with cancer now. The Lord has brought her through, and now cancer in her neck and cancer in her brain. God can. Amen. Yes, Sister Char.
And Curtis, they think that there's one cancer.
And who?
Curtis.
Okay. All right, we'll pray that the Lord would work. Unspoken needs, thank the Lord. Let's stand. God bless you for being a people of prayer. Not something new to us, not something that is done occasionally. We know the power of prayer. Let's bring these to the Lord. Our Father, we look to you. God, and we thank you for a wonderful retreat and your powerful presence.